Welcome back to another episode of the Dear Fathers Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Alex, also the co-founder of Dear Fathers, which is the premier media platform dedicated to telling stories of Black fathers while providing resources for Black men. You know, I kind of say this every time, man. It's a special episode, but today is really one of them ones, man. So I'm not going to hold y'all too long. I'm going to get straight to it. I want to welcome Grammy-nominated artist, one half of the Clips, really one of the greatest rappers of his era, an amazing father, Pusha T. Welcome to the Dear Fathers Podcast, man. How you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me.
No problem, bro.
Honored to be here.
No, we're honored to have you, man. Like we kind of talked about, you know, before we started recording, you've been tapped into the platform for, you know, a minute. It was always cool to see you kind of tap in with us on Instagram. So it's cool to, you know, tap in with you for the podcast, man. And you know, our podcast is really just to humanize Black men and Black fathers outside of what you do in your career. So just getting straight into it, man, like, you know, take us back to your upbringing as a young man. Like, who was Terrence Thornton before he was Pusha T? And like, also, what were your parents like growing up?
Man, you know, my upbringing was really good as far as having a two-parent, very engaged household. You know, my dad was a super hardworking man. He was very meticulous about taking care of home and instilling the fact that there are no excuses. You know, it's funny to understand and to, like, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and know where you get a lot of your isms from, you know. And I see a lot of my dad in myself, and just a lot of his teachings and a lot of his principles and his no nonsense qualities.
Yeah.
And just being, you know, just standing as a man and being on man time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother is from Norfolk, Virginia. My dad was from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
They met each other in New York, working at the post office, and got married and had, you know, had two kids, two sons. And you know, then we moved back to Virginia, where all of my mother's family was from. And you know, just knowing that and knowing my parents and my dad being in a situation where he was, you know, married into a family and then moving to that area with the family. He was, you know, by himself, and his family still stayed, you know, pretty far away in Tennessee. You know, and just watching him navigate and be the man to so many men in our family, and be looked up to by the kids and the family and so on and so forth, you know, but being the outsider as well. It was just something that I always admired. I admire watching.
No, that's what's up, man. I love to hear stories like those, because, like I mentioned, you know, prior to starting, I grew up without my dad. So I didn't have that two-parent mm-hmm. household. And I always say, like, I feel like I didn't know 50% of who I was. So to hear you say, like, you know where all your isms come from, I think that's
super cool.
And I'm curious, like, hardworking father, two-parent household, when you and your brother decided y'all wanted to start rapping, like, what was the response to that? Like, because that's like a non-traditional thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, did they support you, or like, what was that journey like when y'all started the rap journey?
You know, my parents, they actually weren't supportive. They weren't supportive. I used to remind them a lot about that as well, you know. But you know, they were, you know, they were brought up differently. They were raised differently. You know, my brother was always a writer. He was always a writer into music in that sense, into hip hop in that sense. I remember being the younger brother, and you know, my parents would speak to him about his grades not being good, and if he just engaged in his studies like he did the rap music, you know, it was really an issue. You know, but yeah, they weren't supportive. They weren't supportive at all, actually. You
I'm
know,
sure they
and
came
trust
around at
me.
some point,
Oh,
right?
of course they did. Of
Like.
course. You know, I lost both my parents. I lost both my parents 4 months apart. So November 21, I lost my mom. And March 22, I lost my father. But you know, mind you, I've been in the music game for 20 years. For 20 years, and they've gotten to see all of this. You know, say a lot of it. And I never let them forget that though. I never let them forget. You remember. Like anytime I bought a car, anytime, you know, anything, I was like, hey, you know what this is from, right? And it was a running joke. It was a running joke, but it was you know, yeah, I told you so type of guy. So even
Was
with
that
them, it was
moment
bad.
though where you knew that they saw the vision? Like, what was that moment for you that you knew they saw the vision?
Man, I can't pinpoint a moment in which they saw the vision. You got to understand, man, like, you know, all of my friends, my brother, we were in music together. All of my friends in music were my childhood friends, like, you know, Pharrell, Chad Hugo, the Neptunes, NERD. These are my real childhood friends. So, they never, like, you know, let's speak on the Neptunes per se, because they were the first ones to actually make it, you know, in a production sense. It never mattered. They never really cared. It was never real, you know. And then, you know, I mean, just to give you context, man, well into my career, my mom might call me and be like, oh, I heard a song on the radio today. And I'm like,
That's
baby. It's like, baby. Like, you know, and so, you know, just having that you know, it was, you know, but you know, when they began to see how other people embraced their sons, or how they you know, their friends would call them, or you know, they, you know, going to church, they're getting CDs at church now, and I, you know, we gotta, you know, switch my mom's church, you know, things like that. So it was, you know, things got a little bit weird at times, with some of those type of happenings, and it was like, you know, these were all wake up calls, like, hey, things are a little different.
Yeah, no, I love to hear that story, man. And it seems normal. Like, you're doing anything creative, your parents a lot of times are gonna be like, it's not real until it's real, right? So obviously you are who you are. They caught on at some point, and you know, we fast forward to today, man. Like, you know, you're one of the greatest to ever do it. So what's your key to like longevity in a career where it's hard to sustain that type of, you said 20 years, right? Like, that's hard to do. What's your key to longevity?
I think my key to longevity is staying engulfed in the culture of rap, in the culture of hip hop, and just, you know, being very meticulous and being very strategic in the decisions and in the affiliations and in the brands that you're, you know, that you stand next to, and the people that you stand next to, and just being you yourself, becoming a brand that people can trust. I feel like, you know, when you think about me, or when you know, when you think about Pusha T as the artist, you think about, man, I can count on street rap from this guy. This is like something that has never switched. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's something that's never switched. You've heard all of the raps. You've heard me talk about, you know, my parents in my raps. You've heard me talk about my grandmother in my raps. You've heard all of the stories that give that are the foundation of me as an artist. You know, and I think that just never straying away from that and never chasing trends is what has given me the longevity that I have today.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. Like, you know, obviously you got people who may come out with a song and it's hot, you know, but it's always the people who can sustain the test of time, right? That's always going to show what the greatness is. People like yourself, the Jay-Z's, the LeBron James, right? Like to do what you're doing at a high level for that long, man, that's undeniable just greatness right there. So I commend you on having, you know, such a
Thank
long
you.
career, and it continues to grow and build. And you know, I also wanted to, you know, kind of talk about, you know, you recently just did the Pusha T bobblehead night with the Washington Wizards. Like, what's it like for you to do something like that in the city that you grew up in? Like, what's something like that mean to you?
Well, listen, to be clear, I didn't grow up there. And that's what's even like it's even more impressive to me. You know, I'm from Virginia. You know, I'm from Virginia, Hampton Roads area, the 757 area code. You know,
The
we don't
team.
have a team. And Washington, D.C. has always been a neighbor that has always embraced us musically and has always been our escape from just from the area as a youth, you know, from I'm talking about from skipping school to the party scenes and so on and so forth. Like it's always been where I've gone to get away. I haven't moved to that area 5 years ago. No, maybe 6 years ago I moved to the area. I lived there for like 5 or 6 years. I came back home. I had a son, and then I bought a place back up there that I'm renovating now, which is going to be basically my forever home, which is just right outside of DC, of course. But man, it was an honor. Like when I was up there for that time, I was always engaging with the public. I was always going to the games. I supported any way that I could. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, just being a fan of the area and really respecting the area as much as I have. And it was great that they reached out for me to represent the DMV. I guess I'm the V portion, you know. But and ironically, it's very territorial. So, so where I'm from is usually not considered DMV. Where I'm originally from is not considered DMV. That's usually a Northern Virginia type of thing that they, associate with that moniker. Either way, man, I'm glad they reached out. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. I think I'm gonna take my son there. He ain't never been to a basketball game. So we're gonna have a great time.
No, that's what's up, man. I'm pretty sure it'll be dope. You know, here at Dear Fathers, we do what we call Dear Fathers Night, where we partner with NBA teams for a pregame panel on fatherhood and mental health. We actually got one coming up at the end of March with the Atlanta Hawks. Hopefully one day, you know, we can do one with the Wizards and maybe tap you in there. I think that would be super cool. It's a
That'd be
very
dope.
good conversation. I think that's something maybe we can do in the future, man. But, you know, even bringing up, you know, your son, we're talking about your career. I'm wondering from your perspective, man, like, could you have imagined having a kid earlier in your career? Let's say when you were 22, like maybe around the time your career first started, could you have imagined being a dad then, opposed to starting your fatherhood journey where you are right now?
No way. All of my friends have had kids. I'm the last one. And there is no way They all had kids early. I grew up with them, godfather to a lot of them. And there is absolutely no way. I asked them today, like, man, how did y'all do it? Like, how did you still run the streets and still, and have like this child at home and like, how did y'all do it? It's when I think about it, when I think about myself, there's absolutely no way that I could have done it. Like this, it's tough doing it now. Like it's really tough doing it now because I am musically still competing. You know what I'm saying? And time is like the most important thing. Like it's the most important thing when it comes to my son. So it's like he has a great he has a great mom. He's a great mom, an amazing grandmother. And by the time, I come home from off the road or wherever I've been for weeks at a time, I'm trying to be the coolest dad I can be. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's really, I've realized how much time is important because you miss so many little things in those, 2 week spans, 3 week spans, swim lessons and, and just being, you miss a lot of time being the dad that you really, really could be when you're sitting right next to your son or daughter.
Right. No, that makes total sense, man. And for me, I mentioned, before we started recording, I don't have any kids yet. I started this platform because I grew up without my father. I'm 35 years old. At one point, I was actually scared to have children because it was kind of this thing of like, just getting through my own, healing or, trauma and things of that nature and not pass that down or bring kids into the world in a messed up place, but now I'm in a comfortable space where it's like I do want kids in the near future. I'm wondering for yourself, man, like, was there ever any part of your journey where you felt that fatherhood may have not been in the cards for you? And if so, like, what were those thoughts?
I can't say that. I've never thought that fatherhood wasn't for me. I just knew that it had to be the right time, and I knew the type of opportunities that I wanted to be able to like really bring to my child and just my family. It's not just the child situation. It's a whole family. And so, like that always was in the back of my mind, regardless of anything that I had was doing and ever did, like family, family, marriage, child, children was always in the back of my mind. And to be able to be that type of real, like I grew up with a real dad. Like I really had a real dad. So I knew that was the criteria. Like he set the bar. He really set the bar.
That's what's up, man. Like, I'm scared of like, when I have a kid, having to chase the kid around, you know what I'm saying? I'm a little bit older, my back hurting. You have any of those like fears, like just trying to chase around a toddler or a young kid
Listen,
go out there and
listen.
hoop with you or something, man? Like, what's your thoughts on that when that time comes?
Listen, listen, you better be ready. Cause my, like my son is three. My son is three. He'll be four in June. I'm gonna just be honest with you. Like even my health today is all because of him. Like my focus on health, my focus on working out, it's all centered around like being able to be, to be that dad when it's time for him, when he's, active and in the sports and so on and so forth, I want to be able to be that dad as well. I'm gonna be competitive. I'm like, dog, you can't beat me. Like, we play now. I'm not letting him win in anything. Like, it's not happening. So, it's and that's just the type of dad I want to be.
No, that's what's up, man. And you kind of alluded to something that I could also relate to as well, in terms of like all of my friends already like having children and, you know, them going through that process or having kids young. Once you had your son, did the conversations amongst your friend groups change? And then also, I want to know, like, what's some of the best dad advice that you've received from maybe like one of your industry friends?
Man, all right. So the conversation with my friends definitely has changed because they watched me not have this level of responsibility for so long when they had it. So now it's like they already know, like, you know, they know that I'm just like super attention to detail. I'm super anal about things. So they'll know, like, oh, no, nah, listen, man, I know you ain't going. I know you ain't coming out with us tonight because, you know, you just got home, Nigel. Like, they just know the things that, when it comes to myself and my time, that, you know, they don't even have to second guess. They just know, like, nah, I know you focused. I know you focused with your son right now. You know, the conversation is like, you know, basically like, yeah, you finally understand, huh? Like, you finally understand, like, and for 'cause for so long, you know, without kids, you never really know. And man, as far as, you know, my industry friends, what have they said? Man,
I'm sure
I
there's
you
some
know,
type of gems on you at some point.
no, you know, I will say that Pharrell has been very vocal about like spoiling and not spoiling, you know what I'm saying? And like, man, you know, don't let them sleep in the bed with you and get them out the bed and, you know, these type of things. But I have, let me tell you something. It's not working. It's not working, man. It's not working. But you know, he you know, he's a father of four. So he had a lot of experience, you know, of course, once again, before me. So he just be trying to drop little hints here and there, like, hey man, I seen that before, like, hey, but nip that in the bud. Or, you know, and you know, just make sure you make time for your family and family time, you know, 'cause that's what everybody remembers.
No, that's most important, man. I appreciate you sharing that. And also, in one of your past interviews, I remember you talking about, like, obviously you had your son during the pandemic, right? And world was kind of closed down, you weren't moving around as much, so that allowed you to be more present. And you talk about now, like, navigating your career. What practices do you incorporate now that the world's back open to help you stay present as a father, while also, like, right now you're in the studio, you're traveling, you're doing different things? Like, what practices have you implemented to just help you balance the journey between career and being a dad?
I do a lot of I do a lot more family oriented business. You know, like, you know, when my family can be there, they're there. You know, when my son can be there, he's there. You know, and that's because I'm like, you know, I get sick with, you know, being away from home so long. It annoys me. It annoys me, and I'm sure that my team can even tell. You know, when I'm kind of fed up, or when I'm homesick, or, you know, when I'm getting pictures or seeing things of progress that I'm missing out on. So you know, I try to just make sure that my family is nearby as much as they can be.
No, that's what's up. I love to hear that, man. That just means that you're invested in the process and wanting to be around. And you mentioned earlier, like, you know, about your wife and, you know, kids, your son's, you know, grandparents and things of that nature. How important for you is it to have a wife who's supportive on your journey and is a good It's compatible with you in that sense where y'all can manage, those expectations effectively. Like, how important is that for you?
Yeah, it's when I think about it, it's probably the most peace of mind that I get. I don't know if we didn't have that type of connection, or if I had to second guess her process or second guess her decision making, it would make life on the road a lot harder for me. I think that's what I'm most appreciative of. Knowing that my son is like, regardless of where I am, he's going to be progressing in whatever it is that he's doing, because his mom and his grandmother and whoever the team that they put around him, down to his nanny, it's like, he makes sure that he's right.
Yeah. No, I
And
love
I
it
and
too.
I and that's that that within itself helps me more than anything execute while I'm out here
Yeah.
or while I'm in here in the studio now.
No, that's dope, man. I know you're cooking up something special in the studio. I wanted to also piggyback on what you said about your upbringing, like with your dad and, him just being that man figure, father figure in the household. Like, that era was way different than it is now. Like, what's your thoughts on discipline? Like, do you believe in whoopings, or are you more so like a gentle parent? Like, what's your thoughts on that in today's era?
Yeah, I feel like my son is only three, so whippings is out the question. But I do, and mind you, I was raised, I used to get beatings, like, for sure, like, be clear. I find myself talking to him a lot more and, like, really just, having him try to understand, like why something is wrong, and just really having that dialogue. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know. I don't know if, like, whooping, spankings, whatever you want to call it, I don't know if that's ever going to come into play. But right now, I don't see it. Right now, I don't see it, and we communicate really, really well. He goes through his tantrums and things like that, and it's more like, my patience. I don't know. I'm like, I love my son so much that my patience is even different with him. Like, it ain't. I don't got patience like I got. Like, I would have no patience for you. I got all the patience for him. Like, so, and he's getting to. He's gonna get to experience that and see what that's like.
No, I think that's amazing, man. And I think really that's all it comes down to is communication. I feel like growing up, parents, it wasn't no communicate, man. It's like you do something,
Yeah.
it's just, they bringing out the belt. And I think that's all, we need as children is to be able to, somebody to communicate with the child and kind of have those conversations and talk through things and, navigate how to emote or feel their emotions or feel through their feelings. So what you're saying, I agree with wholeheartedly, man. It's like, it's really just comes down to communicating. So I think that's great advice for, whoever's listening. And,
I gotta add too, man. Like, my son is in school, so, like, it's a new day. Like, it's a full new day. 3-year-old in school, like, he gets upset, and he does yoga when he gets upset. Like, he does breathing and smell the flowers, and it's just, there's a whole thing I'm being introduced to, like, you know what I'm
Right.
saying? Like, a whole nother method. So it's only right for me to try to mirror that energy, especially when he's out in the world, and that's how they calm him down, and he calms himself down, and watch him calm himself down. It's like, I'm like, wow, man, like, I'm impressed by that,
No, I'm impressed just hearing you say that, man. I'm
Yeah.
35. I'm just trying to get into the like practices of, meditation and things of that nature. Like, him
Right.
at 3 years old, it's like, man, like you said, it's a new era. And I wonder, even for you in like this era of your music, right? Like, do you look at your music and your career through a new lens now that you have a son?
I can't say that I do. I think I look at life through a new lens. Like, and the goal every day, the goal every day is to make it back home to my son. Like, that's just the goal. So, like, my mindset, my decision making, my, situations, all of that, all of those things are based on, how would that affect my son in the long run?
Yeah.
So
All
I just, I don't even,
right.
I don't do anything without that consideration
Yeah.
these days. Nothing.
I'm assuming that switch just kind of turns on because, like, you well established in your career and in your life. So, like, sometimes we get stuck in our ways in a sense as we get a little bit older. But I'm assuming you having a son, like, that was just an automatic switch where it's like, gotta change some things up. Yeah.
No, 1,000%. I mean, I just, it's weird for me because making the music that I like to make, it puts me in places. It's putting me in a lot of different places and spaces. The energy that comes with that music, and where I find a lot of that inspiration, it can get tricky. It can get really tricky. So, it's just about, it's just about knowing how to move in certain places, and really just doing your job, man. Like, this is work. This is where I'm working for him, as a matter of fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. I'm like, I'm working for my son.
Right.
So it's
I
like,
was
I
gonna
just go ahead.
say. Good.
No, I was just, so it's, that just never leaves the back of my mind. Like, that never leaves the back of my mind. And, at the same time, it's a fine line to walk because this is street hip hop, and this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love. This is the type of music I love. I'm watching the world get edgy and get, corporate world get edgy and lean into me, whether, lean into me for many things. So it's like, it's being accepted. It's just like, there's always those dark areas, or those gray spaces that you gotta walk sometimes.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you kind of mentioned the inspiration and it being like a fine line when it comes to those things and navigating now since you have a son. I'm curious to know, like, you had a particular like rap beef or whatever, the lack of better words, years ago where there was something that was brought up centered around fatherhood in one of your lines. You didn't have a son then, but you have a son now. Do you look at that any differently now that you have a son, or would you have handled that particular situation the same, or kind of what's your viewpoint on that now that you kind of, see things from a different, view and having a son?
No, that was war.
It's like, oh, it's fair in war, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I, you know, and like, you know, I feel like, you know, that was, you call it rap beef or, whatever, however you want to categorize it. It was very real to me. It was very real to me, and to me, like how I look at fatherhood and how I look at that whole the whole notion of it, that should never be able to be an angle. It couldn't be it that couldn't be an angle for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you just, I just look at things differently, man. I look at things differently, and I feel like I look at things in through a very real lens, very real lens. And I think that's why people gravitated towards, That song, for sure.
No, I got you, man. And you know, can you also speak about like, you know, everything that you got going on, from the music to the business to the fashion, you know, all these things that you're doing for your son, right? Like, what
Yeah.
does legacy mean to you? Like, and I guess, like, you know, what does it mean for you to, or how important is it for you to, I guess, like, make your son's path easier than yours? Like, I'm curious to know what you think about that.
Oh yeah, like I think that I think that is my job. I think my job specifically is to make sure that my son has an easier way to go. I feel like you know, and listen, easier way to go only so that he can have the clarity to, you know, choose his path without distraction. You know what I'm saying? You know, and choose, you know, whether it's career path, you know, whatever it is that he's into. I want him to be able to see that clearly without without worrying about, you know, responsibility and in certain ways that can be overbearing, that can make you choose something that you have to do versus something you love to do. You know, and you know, that's just the that's the biggest part of bringing a child into this world. Just really making sure that they have a an open book of opportunities. And they have, you know, making sure that they have that clarity to navigate the world how they want to, because you've set that foundation for them.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. And I think, you know, that's something I resonate with as well, as wanting that for my, you know, son or daughter when I bring them into the world. And I think, as in the Black community, man, like, we got this fascination with always getting it out the mud. Like, you know, and I think like it's important to your kids not have to get it out the mud, right? Like, you set a foundation so they ain't got to. So like what you're saying, I agree with wholeheartedly, man. And you know, I want to kind of take it back to something you mentioned earlier, in terms of your parents. Like, in 2021, you know, you lost both of your parents 4 months apart. Like, grieving is a tough process, and I'm pretty sure you're still going through that every single day, or it comes up in different instances. But I'm curious, like, what did you take from your mom, and what did you take from your dad in terms of who you are as a father? Like, what things have you taken from them that shows up in your journey as a dad today?
Well, you know, with my mom, I would say that I've taken the whole she had a whole way about herself, when it came to her kids. It was like the kids never did no wrong, you know. She was like, there was a certain loyalty that she had with us. And you know, I see that. I see that in my son. Like, you know, he can be wrong. He can be wrong as all outdoors. But you know, I'm still giving him that benefit of the doubt. And I always got the benefit of the doubt from my mom. She also was always an open door. Like, she, you know, raising us, and I have another brother and a sister. You know, raising all of us, she really had an open door policy. It was nothing that she couldn't take, you know, in hearing, like, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I hope that myself and my son have that same open door policy. You know, as far as my dad, you know, it's my dad was really, he really lived for the marathon of it all. He always looked towards the future, and I really hope I can instill in my son that, just instilling him like to don't, to always look down the road, always look, always plan for down the road. My dad planned, man, he planned very, very, very meticulously for, even in his death, like for his two sons. He was like, man, I got y'all. And I'm like, it was weird. I mean, it was kind of weird to me, knowing, and not to go too deep into it, but like, dog, I'm a real artist out here. What are you planning for me for? like, dad, like, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like, as much as you might not have, wanted it to, or believed at first, but dog,
I'm
you're
good.
clear. You're
Yeah.
clear. You're clear. And just still watching how he had things mapped out and laid out, man. Me and my brother laugh about it all the time. Just like, this guy was different.
Just who he was.
That's just who he was, really. And I hope that I can instill that in my son. Like, 'cause it gives you a sense of peace through that grieving process that, this is just who, just knowing who your father was and knowing that he was even taking care of you after, even when he didn't have to. It just lets you know like what type of bond that y'all had.
That's what's up, man. I love to hear that. And just getting into, something that we like to do here at Dear Fathers is a hypothetical letter to your dad. So, like, if you could write a letter to your dad starting with Dear Father, what would you say to him?
Dear Father, man, I really miss you. I miss you, and I am one of the biggest regrets is you not being able to see my son grow up in the physical. Because you would have been a great granddad, an awesome grandfather, as you started out being. And just I appreciate you. I appreciate you for everything you instilled in me. I appreciate you for teaching me the importance of dedication, the importance of organization, the importance of just looking ahead to the future and planning for any and everything that there is to come. And also, my dad had this awesome quality. Well, I'll keep writing. Dad, you had this awesome quality that there was never a problem that was too big. You could fix it all. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you for that, Pops.
No, I love that, man. And I appreciate you just, kind of sharing that letter. That's one thing that's super important to us here at
Yeah,
Dear
man.
Father. I appreciate you for sharing. And just to kind of, lighten it up a little bit, like, a few things before we get out of here. We like to do something we call dad trivia, man. And in this instance,
Okay.
it's centered around rap lyrics. Now,
Okay.
I'm not the greatest rapper, but I'm hoping as a rapper, you can tell, kind of the
Okay.
conviction of these lyrics. So I'm gonna spit three lyrics for you, and you got to guess who rapped them. You ready? All
Okay. Yep.
right, so we're gonna start with number one. Who would have thought I'd be the dad I never had, be the husband I become? Usually nothing comes from that.
Who would have thought I'd be the dad I never had, the husband I become?
Usually nothing comes from that.
Usually nothing comes from that.
It's someone, he's in your era of rap. You've had songs with this guy.
Okay. So I'm gonna go with Kanye.
Close though. It's
Ho.
Jay-Z
Ho. Ho.
444 Adnes, the name of the song. So it
Yeah,
was Jay.
yeah.
I
Yeah.
Here go number two for you. You ready?
Okay.
But every time I wanted a layaway or a deposit, my dad will say, "When you see clothes, close your eyelids."
That gotta be yay.
Yeah, that's yay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, number three, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Rather build a legacy for my son. That's important for him. Real estate just rewarding him. Generational wealth, when I'm gone, he's still flourishing.
That's myself.
Okay, man. If you didn't get that one, man, I was gonna be a little upset,
Right.
man. But that was a great
Right.
line, and it kind of resonates with everything you spoke about today, man. So two for three on the dad trivia, man. I appreciate
Yes.
you. But let the people know what's next for you. What you got coming up, what you got coming out, what you want people to tap into.
Man, listen, I'm working on this music. I got two or three projects coming. You guys are seeing me in Paris every other week. The fashion is flourishing. Everything's coming, man. Just stay tuned. It's gonna be a hot summer.
Nah, man, we definitely gonna stay tapped in with you, man. Once again, man, this is super therapeutic for me just to learn a little bit more about you as a black man, as a father, man. Like you've dropped some gems for me that I'm going to be thinking about, as I get into my journey of fatherhood, man. So the Dear Fathers audience, we appreciate you for tapping in with us. And yeah, we're gonna stay tapped in, man. So thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Dear Fathers podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Instagram and stay locked in anywhere you get your podcasts. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks for having me.